but it's been around for a while. And it's signified by the candles being lit each week, and each one stands for something. And if we look, we should have it. Yes. Hope, love, joy, and peace. And this is where we're at this week. We're at the first week of Advent, and that is the first week is hope. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 this morning is where the text will come from. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be starting in verse 18. The idea and the reality was is that from the time that Israel had been established, really even before, God had been speaking to his people. If you remember all the way back in the book of Genesis, God actually came and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He fellowshipped with them, and our brains don't work in how God walked at that point, because we know God is spirit, and how does this equate? But somehow, God being God, he is able to walk in fellowship and spend time with his creation in the garden. Once sin became, then separation began to take place. But even still, God continued to speak. He continued to call out and either speak through himself, through what we see as the angel of the Lord, or angels themselves became messengers, to the point where he spoke to Abraham, even to, and following. You get the burning bush with Moses, and you see all these different aspects of how God has always spoken, and even to a point he began to then use prophets to speak to the nation of Israel. Anytime that God had a message, he would speak. But at the close of what we consider the Old Testament, God goes silent. For over 400 years, God did not speak to Israel. And in that time, Rome has taken over. Rome now rules. And one of the things Rome likes to do is when they conquer a land, they go in and say, well, if you'll pledge allegiance to us, then you can keep your position. You can just pay your authority and then pay us your taxes. You can pretend to be king, but we're really in charge. And so this is what has happened with Israel. And Israel is under control of Rome. And they haven't heard from God. So this is now the setting with which we begin the narrative of the birth of Jesus Christ. And in verse 18 in Matthew chapter 1, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, God. I pray that you just speak to us today through this message, God. Speak through me. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Looking at this in the story of the birth of Christ, I think that what happens with Joseph kind of gives us a glimpse of what man's encounter or man's struggle is with our own life and our own experience with God. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is that if you look at this story, now we have to put this in context of back in this time. All right, so we think betrothed, and for you young people, betrothed just means engaged, okay? So nowadays, when you get engaged, you have to do this big deal thing right now, all right? I don't know if y'all know this, but the engagement has to be huge, all right? You have to plan stuff out, you have to hide relatives in bushes, and you have to have a videographer and all this other stuff, and you know, if you don't have like a skywriter write, will you marry me, and all this other stuff, then it's just not... it's not a good proposal, you know. It doesn't live up to today's standards of, you know, drama and play, you know, whatever. But that's a whole different thing. And back then, though, betrothal was the same as marriage. The minute you said, yes, we're going to be married, And that union took place that you were considered husband and wife. And what would happen in the Jewish culture, and many times, there was arranged marriages. Okay, it was the family would come together and go, okay, for our benefit, you're going to marry her, or she's going to marry you, and we're going to have this arrangement. And what would happen is during that time, traditionally what would happen is the husband would leave during the betrothal period and go prepare the place for the bride. He would go, whether it's work his job, build up enough money, build a house, make sure the house was clean and set up and ready to bring his bride home so they could start their family together. This is what would happen. She was still the bride. She was still considered married to him. But there was a time of separation, a time of preparedness. Now, the bride had to be ready for the return of the groom, because the groom could come back. Whenever he's done, the groom would come. And she had to be ready to go. And so this is kind of the context with which we see how this is working. Now, they're in the town, and you know that the first thing that I want us to understand is that, you know what? Joseph would have been celebrating his betrothal or his engagement. And so go ahead and click the first one. So there's a sense of celebration. If you look all the way back to the beginning of man, they were creative. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Go eat of all this. There was a celebration. God said it was very good. There was excitement. And the same thing happens to us as humans. A lot of times when we're younger, we don't have this notion or concept of our true nature of where we are. Just, we're happy. You know, we're living life to the fullest and everything is going good. If you think about Joseph, he was engaged. Man, he was celebrating this engagement to his wife, you know, to Mary. They were going to be married. They were going to be husband and wife. They were going to start their lives together. He would have been excited. You can see him as they maybe meet at church on Sunday, you know, well, back then on Saturday. All right, you know, and they meet at church and they'd look across and he'd look out the other room where the women were gathered and, you know, they'd give the little looks and he'd be like, hey, you know, and they were having, you know, just the fun time, you know, of being engaged and spending that time getting together. There would have been some excitement that was going on. But in this case, what happened? Well, can you imagine the shock of finding out that she was pregnant with somebody else's child? So he went from a moment of celebration to a moment of shock. I don't know how it found out. Scripture doesn't tell us what happened. We just know that he found out she was with child. I would like to think that Mary came to Joseph and goes, oh, look, I had an angel appear to me. Here's what he told me. You know? Or it could have even been the case of he hadn't seen her for a little while and the baby bump is starting. And he's like, wait a minute. What's that? Or probably, and could have been like a lot of other places, it was a very small town where they were from. And I'm sure one of Joseph's friends came up, did you hear about Mary? I heard it from my sister. Yeah, she saw her the other day. She's pregnant. Joseph, was that? Joseph, I don't know anything about that. Somehow, he finds this out. And again, I hope it's because they had a conversation that they were talking about it. He just hadn't gotten the message yet from God. But then Mary said, look, no, it's okay. And I'm sure, can you imagine? I always love the story. Can you imagine that conversation? No, Joseph, I swear it's God's baby. It's God. Yeah, right. Would he believe it? Probably not at the outset, right? Because it never happened before. There would have been this shock. Same thing happens to us in our lives that, you know what? We realize that we're destined for separation from God. And you could tell that Joseph was really distraught about this. He loved Mary. And according to their custom, what he could have done when he found out she was married, was pregnant, he could have had her killed. He could have said, no, that's not my child. I don't know where this child come from. She could say it was God's all she wanted. Nobody would believe it. No court would believe it. No priest would go, oh, well, no, that's probably true. Yeah, no, we read it in the scripture. This has to be the girl, right? The one that said that a virgin would be with child. Nobody would have got that. Nobody would have understood. But going through that and dealing with that, he loved Mary. I'm sure he was heartbroken that he was going to have to, because he had to. He had to save face. He had to, look, I can't marry her. You know, I love her. I won't have her killed, but I can't marry her. I got to put her away. He's got to give her a divorce. He's got to get rid of her, and somehow she's got to go away. That he was destined to be separated. You know what? Our sin has done that same thing for us. I think if you look back into the book of Genesis and you see that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, one of the things they did was they hid. And sure, it was because they didn't have clothes on. And God's like, who told you you didn't have that? But I think there was something deeper to that. There was the realization that they had done something wrong now. Not that Mary had done anything wrong, but for us, that there becomes this realization that there is something in our life. And every one of us should have that moment. Because I firmly believe God calls to each and every one of us in some way, shape, or form. At some point in your life, you're going to have that moment of, I feel like something's wrong. Something's missing. I've missed something. I've done something. I need something. And God is that answer. But what really gets going is the next thing is that God steps in. We have a revelation of what God's plan is. And this is what he did. Joseph is sitting here, and it says he was an honorable guy. But he was trying to figure out a way to be right about it, to follow the law, do everything else. But then God went, well, I got to step in here. And sent his messenger to tell him, look, Joseph, it's okay. It really is my child. It's from the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit has come on her. She's not doing anything wrong. This is part of my plan. Now see, all the time, I wonder, shouldn't they have been aware this was coming? Because if you talk to Jewish people and ask about the prophecies of Messiah, most of them will tell you. They know, they've been studying the prophecy. Why? Hope. They longed for the coming of the Messiah. They longed back then for the coming of the Messiah. And for multiple reasons at this point in time, one was because they knew the Messiah would come. But they also had a misunderstanding that the Messiah they thought was going to come and liberate them from captivity and free them from the bondage of Rome. What they didn't realize is the Messiah was going to come and actually free them from the bondage of sin first. So the message of Christmas really is one of those of hope. Now, we see that played out in so many things at Christmas. And you know, I don't know if you've watched the news, but you know, you've got Black Friday, right? Going out and going shopping. I was watching video this morning of a fist fight in Walmart. Over I don't know what. In the checkout line, people are throwing down in the checkout. Well, at Walmart, I can understand it because there's only like one for every 1,000 people. But where's the hope of this season? You know, you think about it with little kids, and I love the excitement, and I can almost remember this. I'm not that old. But what was it like coming up for Christmas? You've given your list to whether it's Santa, Mom, Dad. You've told everybody you could possibly tell what you wanted for Christmas, right? You know, every time you're around. And one of my favorite movies is The Christmas Story. All right, I just love that movie. You shoot your eye out if y'all haven't seen it. All right, it's a wonderful, it's a great movie. But this kid is working hard everywhere he can to get his Daisy Red Ryder BB gun. I mean, he has set things up. He takes his mom's magazine. And he picks a page and he puts the ad for the Daisy Red. I mean, he is set. He's got it. Everywhere he goes, every time he drops, he's dropping hints everywhere. You know, and making up stories about a bear down at, you know, I mean, it was awesome. You know, but how many kids have done this? You know, and that hope, you get that hope, right, at Christmas. Am I going to get it? Am I going to get this? Some kids start sneaking around the house trying to look for stuff, don't they? That's how I learned how to wrap presents. My cousin denies that she taught me this, but I know she did. But I learned how to unwrap a present so I could see what was in it to wrap it again. But you had to be good at it because mom and them knew when you messed something up. I can remember sitting on a Christmas Eve, and it was one of those things, and man, and this will tell you how back in the 80s, we had some boring toys. But it was this tube, it was a piece of plastic that was accordion. And the only thing you did with this was spin it around a head and made a noise. And went, woo, it was fun. I remember trying to go to bed on Christmas Eve, and my mom and my aunt are in the other room, and all you hear is, woo, and the old lady's laughing. They were just having a blast in there. I'm like, what in the world? I can't wait to see what that is in the morning. You know, you go to bed like, what is that? You know, playing with reindeer or something. I didn't know what was going on, but they were having a blast. You know? And you do. I mean, how many times have you had that expectation, especially at Christmas? You know, you get up on Sunday. Now, I'm not the early morning riser. Now, I will tell you, my sister-in-law, she's the early morning one. She wakes the kids up at our house when she comes to visit. No lie, she really does. She was telling us the other day that she got up at like 3 in the morning one time and slept outside the door of the bedroom of the parents because they wouldn't get up. So like every 10 minutes she'd wake up and go, is it time yet? No. She'd nod back off and off. When you talk about hope and enthusiasm about a Christmas morning, you know, but man, you've asked for it. You're excited. You're ready. You're up early. The sun's not even up and you're like, I got to go to the tree and see what it is. And you run in there and hopefully, hope against hope, you have what it was that you asked for, right? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know how many times I've run out there and what I asked for wasn't under the tree. Well, you see hope kind of go, wow. But see, that's life. That's not God. See, when God establishes something, when God says that I'm going to do this, hope is born, and when hope is born, hope doesn't die. God will fulfill it. God brought hope all the way back in the book of Genesis. When he found out what Adam and Eve had done, yes, there was punishment for it. And he looked at the snake, he looked at the serpent, the devil, and he said, you're going to crawl on your belly in the dust. You are going to strike their heel. In other words, you're going to be biting at humans' heels. All right, and if you've ever been with a snake, a real one out in life, you know what they do, right? Where do they bite? Down, yeah. And back in Jewish time, heel would have been anywhere from the knee to the knee to the floor. But if you're walking through the woods and a snake wants to bite you, it's somewhere down here. Why? Because it can't get any higher, unless it's a tree snake. But we're not even talking about them, because now I'm gonna be looking all in the woods when I go home. Worst thing Jessica's horse instructor ever said to me one time was, oh yeah, I've had a snake fall out of the ceiling of the barn and just land on the floor. Every time I go into my barn now, the door's cracking. I'm like, because y'all know what would happen if a snake landed on me when I walked into the barn? Horses would laugh. It would be hysterical. But I would hurt myself. But then he said, you will bruise their heel, but what will happen to you? Her seed will crush your head. And that's reality. I've never stepped on a snake, but the best way to kill one is to take its head, right? With a shovel, with an axe. My aunt's tough. She has water moccasins getting her garage, and she kills them with a machete. Machete. I don't mess with my aunt. I don't even want to get that close to them. I just had holes in the concrete. But that's how you do it. But spiritually, he was also telling them, you know what? The seed of humanity, the Son of Man, God's Son, will come. And when he does, he's going to crush Satan in victory. So from the moment Adam and Eve left garden, hope began. And all throughout the Old Testament, you see it. You see these glimpses. You see these rises and falls in the stories of how hope was there. All the stories, Abraham, the hope, your seed, your nation, salvation will come through you. How God saved the world through Noah. God saved His children and delivered them through Moses. Hope continued. But imagine, if you will, it's been 400 years. You haven't heard from God. How do you think their hope was? See, we have hope, but sometimes it's hard to hold on to. But what happened next is, after God steps in to reveal His plan, Joseph had to react. Joseph had to believe what God was saying, what the angel had told him. Joseph could have very easily went, "I'm seeing things. I'm sleeping anyway. How do I know this is from God? I don't believe her. I don't believe what's going on." But when God spoke, he believed, and then he went and did the right things, didn't he? And it wasn't just that he believed. He believed and he acted. He went ahead and took Mary as his wife. Now, it sounds like here in Scripture that when they got married, it was probably a quick ceremony. They probably didn't have the big, 10-day wedding that the Jewish people are known for, because she was with child. There would have been a lot of explaining to do at that wedding. But he got up. And I'm always amazed at the two stories of Mary and Joseph. Because if you ever doubted, or if you ever didn't think that God was sovereign, just look at these stories. If he'd have picked any other person, any other man, how would he have reacted? See, God knew how Joseph was. He knew what his questions would be. He knew what his reactions would be. He knew what his next steps would be when he found out the truth. Hope. The Christmas season is about hope. We look at a world now that is crazy. I just briefly mentioned about a fist fight at a store on Black Friday. I keep wanting to call it Good Friday, but that's wrong. Black Friday. The world's divided. People argue back and forth. Sometimes it's hard to look at this world and look at it with hope. See, for us, the good news is our hope didn't just end with the birth of Christ. Our hope is really beginning with the birth of Christ. Our hope as Christians continues on through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have hope that Jesus will one day return again. So my challenge would be, as we go throughout this season, is to share the hope of Christ with others. To share that message of, you know what? This world's tough. Struggles are real. Things happen. But there is one who brings hope. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel. Think about that. The last time God was with them physically was in the garden, physically. But when God came in the form of Jesus, He became Emmanuel, God with us. And He's promised, He's given us this hope that He will never leave us again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we just thank You for this time here. Help us to truly celebrate the hope that is within us, the hope that the birth of the Messiah brings to us. Help us to share that hope with this world, a world that is in desperate need of some good news, in desperate need of light, in desperate need of hope. Jesus, we just thank You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."